Tomas, we're back, my friend. You know what that means? Time for a little bit more TT Live with this market measure.
Okay, now Spooz.
Listen, don't.
Up 40 to down.
Say again?
Spooz, down of the day.
Yeah, and who called it? With Victor on there, you were like, I like the market. I was going like this. Victor started laughing.
Anyway, S&Ps.
As foretold, even the S&Ps unchanged.
NASDAQ down 12. I'm mad at myself for making some adjustments this morning.
But your scalp bond's nice.
Yeah, great.
How does daddy do it?
No, that's not.
Unbelievable, really.
No.
I mean, you're amazing.
Not proud of myself.
How do you think we feel?
Man, some of these stocks looking heavy. I got to make some adjustments here, like in Meta and a couple other stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Meta ugly. You ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Meta either, just a couple of these other stocks. AMD.
AMD's down on the day now, isn't it?
It's been down for the last couple hours.
AMD down $3.
Yep.
Good change.
Yep. That should be take it down to a new low.
It's on its low, yes. So it hasn't been down $3 all day. It's on its low and it's down 280. It opened at 145. It's 141.5. So it was up on the day earlier. It turned negative.
Well, now
don't listen to what he says. Listen to what he's thinking. Go ahead.
Now I got some issues. Anyway. We got a market measure. We got a lot of stuff to do today, actually. And we got Scott coming on, and
that's it. Then your day is over. Then you boss me around when the camera's off, and we.
You got to go. You got to run and get me lunch.
I got to run and get you lunch. Do you pick up your laundry on the way?
Anyway, before we do this, we got a market measure that's actually a pretty good one. But just a quick little housekeeping before we do this. We got a couple of events coming up. Beth, take us to the next slide. With respect to just upcoming events, because I want to promote, we're going to be in Seattle a week from Saturday, and So we're going to be in Seattle a week from this Saturday, Saturday, 2 weeks from this Saturday, a week from the coming Saturday.
Oh my gosh, May 18th.
I'm about to say it, May 18th.
Oi.
We'll be in Seattle on May 18th. It's the first time we've been out.
A little heavy on the oi, Beth, not going to lie.
Well deserved.
Put the camera on. Where's your camera, Beth?
It's the first time we've been to Seattle since I want to say 2018, but I don't remember exactly. But Pacific Northwest, we've been to Seattle a couple times over the last 13, 14 years. We've been to Portland a couple of times, but we don't get out there much. And I did do one show at the in Idaho, believe it or not. But for the most part, we don't get out there much. We'd love you to come out and come to the Seattle event. We've got six speakers. We got the whole gang coming. And it should be a fun event. Also, just a couple weeks after that, we're going to be in London. I'm going to film Tasty Live from London for 3 days before our event on Saturday, June 8th. We hope that everybody gets a chance to that's in Europe that can get over a quick little Ryanair flight or however you want to do it, get over to London for that event. And we're also going to raffle off a bunch of tickets for Smashing Pumpkins and Weezer that night. And cool. I'm going to go to the game along with Nikki Batt. I'm sorry, I'm going to go to the concert along with Nikki Batt. Last year was the game. And I'm going to drag my butler and whoever else, Jamal Chandler. I'm going to drag whoever I have to drag. So it's going to be a fun night. And then a couple weeks after that, we're back in Chicago and we're doing the show at the Park West.
Awesome.
And we have never done an event at the Park West.
Park West is my old stomping grounds.
Don't even start. But I have seen some great shows. In fact, I saw Weezer at the Park West, and they were awesome. But we'll be at the Park West on July 13th in Chicago. Then we hit.
You need parking, the parking lot around the corner? Guy's my man. Don't worry about it. Take care of you.
That guy's been dead for 15 years.
30.
Anyway, that's building a complex portfolio. And then if you're on the site, tastylive.com/events, sign up for Geeks. Because Geeks is our digital, it's going to be our first digital collectible of 2024. And we've got the whole team coming in to record this. There'll be seven speakers, seven different topics. It'll be about 2.5 hours long. Liz is going to host it. And I think it's going to be great. First time we've ever done it as a digital collectible. All right, let's go, Beth. Let's go back to the market measures.
Yeah, let's go, Beth. Come on, hurry up.
Easy.
This one's sponsored by the SIBO. And... Let's take you.
Is it the SIBO or is it CBOE?
What do you want it to be?
I want it to be the CBOE because that's how I love it.
I actually think it's CBO, but you can call it CBOE if you want.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm hoping to have Fred on the show. He's the CEO of the CBO now. And I asked him. He balked.
He's the boss.
He balked. He's the new CEO of the CBOE. So I go, hey, what about coming on Tasty? He goes, He goes, what about my compliance team? I go,
They have earnings coming tomorrow before the market opens, just to let you know.
Where's the stock trading? 190?
180.
180.
79 and change. Yep. Unchanged.
Fred's done a really good job at the CBO. He's the ex-CEO of TD Ameritrade, and he's the one that actually bought Thinkorswim from us.
Yep.
How do puts compare to stock? How do you think?
Well.
Well is right. How do puts compare? How do short puts compare to long stock? Because we don't do it any other way. So how do short puts compare to long stock?
Over time.
Yeah. How do they perform over time? How does short puts compare to long stock over time? We've done a couple of different studies on this. Probably 10 or so over the last, I'm going to guess, 12, 13 years. We've probably done, a dozen or so studies on this topic. But we're going to put a new spin on it today. Let's go to the next slide. So today we're going to compare the historical P&L and the risk of short puts and compare the results to that of long stock. The guys were working on this yesterday afternoon when I was still here. We were doing the pitch, and they hadn't even finished it yet. So this is straight out of the oven. Okay. I mean, we literally wrapped this up last night. So which short put strategy is the most comparable to 100 shares of long stock on a risk-reward basis? You want to take a flyer?
On a one lot, most comparable?
Yeah. Which short
will act the same way as 100 shares of stock?
Yeah, which short put strategy?
Open form? 25 delta.
Let's go to the next slide, Beth. So 19 years worth of research, we bought 100 shares of stock. We sold the following. One at the money put. I should have given you these first.
Yeah, I can.
These are your choices. You can change it now. Yeah. One at the money put, 50 deltas.
Because now I can have a proper bet because there are two 30 deltas.
Okay, go ahead. Here, I'm going to give it to you. You can change your bet. One at the money put, two at the money puts, 100 deltas, so 1-to-1. Two 30 delta puts, three 25 delta puts, or one 70 delta put, which is just similar.
This was a covered call.
Okay. We compared the following metrics: average P&L, daily standard deviation, worst loss for the puts and stock over the same period, and win rates. Again, here's the comparison. You're going to buy 100 shares of stock, and this is over time, or you're going to sell one at the money put, which is the equivalent of 50 delta, so it's half, basically half, two at the money puts. But the question is, if you sell one at the money put, does the premium alone make up for the difference? Two at the money puts, you know that's not going to be the answer. So how about
one at the money puts, the answer.
Two 30 delta puts, three 25 delta puts.
I think the rest are going to overperform.
Or one 70 delta put. So you think it's one at the money put as opposed to one 70 delta put?
Yeah.
Okay. If I was to choose, I hate to say this, I'm going to choose the same thing you're saying.
Now I'm wrong. Can I change my bet?
You can change. But I'm going to say the same thing you're saying. Let's go to the next slide. So long stock carried roughly 70% greater risk return. And remember, we did this study too over a bull market.
Yes.
So it's since 2005 is 19 years of, there's been some huge sell-offs, but essentially,
we've had a lot of V-bottoms.
Well, since 2005, we've gone from whatever it was. Let's see, where was the S&Ps in 2005? I'm going to guess they were probably around 10,000, 11,000. I'm sorry, 10 or 1,100, and now they're over 5,000. So, so in that period, we've gone up 4,000% for 100%, sorry. So 400%. Selling three 25 delta puts seemed to be the most attractive because the higher win rate combined with the higher average P&L on the board. But let's take a look. And again, part of this is skewed because you got through it over 19 years, because in the end, the markets were up 400%. But let's take a look. So the 100 shares, average daily P&L per day, plus $6. It's pretty good. The 170 delta put up 4. 1 at the money put, which you and I said, up 350. 2 at the money puts up 698. And then 535 and then 685. So obviously the more risk you took in this case, the better you did. And with win rates and everything else. That kind of surprises me, actually. But it's really, here's the thing. If you're going to compare something over 19 years and you're going to smooth out all the crashes, like you take 2008, like if you'd done this position in 2005, you would have been scared shitless by 2008 and you would have got out of the position.
And you probably would have been down.
You would have for sure been down. You would have been down almost like 80%.
Right.
By the end of 2008, early 2009. If you had taken this into the, you probably would have eventually
you
made.
Started in 08, 09, you probably never take any heat from your initial investment.
No, you're carrying the super trader at that
point. Right.
And then if you started in 2020, you know, again, you get stuck with the pandemic. So the timing part of this is kind of a little bit misleading, but let's go to the next slide.
Well, it is what it is, not misleading.
Right. It's not misleading, it's just as it is. So the 325 delta puts at 50% more tail risk than long stock and almost 2.5 times the tail risk of a 170 delta put, though the starting deltas are only 75. So the reason is in the tail risk event, the deltas on the puts go to 100. So if you're short 3 puts as opposed to short 1 put and you have some kind of a crash, now you're short a lot of underlying, and that's where, you know, you have all this crazy outlier exposure. So we decided to take a look at the worst loss tail risk. And this gets kind of interesting here. And you can see on the 100 shares, worst case over time since 2005 was just under 10 grand. On the 70 delta put or the 50 delta put, the one that we said, the 6 grand in risk. But when you have the multiple puts, you're up to 12 grand, 10 grand, and 14 grand.
Well, all makes sense. I mean, because you have the more units. We always talk about, you could really see here, forget about just this study, how we talk about, you know, ramping up your size, going from 1 to 2 to 3. It's a lot bigger than you think it is when things go wrong.
Yeah. So does that scare you? I mean, in reality, if I knew we were going to be up for the last
19... No, nothing would scare me with that premise. But yeah, just seeing the numbers, it...
If I knew we were going to be up for the last 19 years, I would have sold 3 of the 25 deltas.
Sure.
Because it makes the most sense.
Sure.
Let's go to the next slide, Beth. So when we want to increase our size, should we do it in the following order? Increase delta, add a new strategy or, you know, underlying... or increase the contract size of the existing position?
I think you should. I guess you should increase delta.
Yeah, they're saying we should do it in the following order.
Right.
Increase delta first, because it's always about not adding units and increasing delta. Then you might want to add a new strategy, and then last, you want to increase size. Because ultimately, what are you preparing? What are you protecting for? You're protecting for an outlier
every
move.
Day. You could keep your business open.
You're protecting for things you can't control.
Right.
The whole business is about protecting from the things you can't control. And what you can't control is the stuff that's unquantifiable. Next slide, Beth. So even though selling multiples of out-of-the-money puts can yield you more success more often, you could lose more than 2 times as much as holding long stock in a tail risk event. Now, again, the other thing that's really hard about tail risk events are you don't really know it's a tail risk event. So all you know is this is ugly. Like, you don't know how bad it's going to get. And so you're almost forced at those points. You're almost forced to take losses.
Mm-hmm.
If you have fewer units, you're not forced to take a loss. When we're ready to increase our size, there are a few ways to do it. But increasing the number of contracts is the last step.
That's the Jesus.
Not based on the return, but based on the unquantifiable risk. What you really want to do is you always want to increase your delta. And we call it, with defined risk, we call it widen the strikes. With undefined risk, we call it increase the delta.
It's when genius fails. We saw it in that gas. Anytime there's been any type of market.
I'm going to give you a perfect example. It happened to me yesterday. I thought I was being.
You were in the lunch line and you took too many tacos.
No. But I screwed up yesterday. So I had a position. I decided to play an earnings trade in Starbucks. I was short. I'm not going to tell you how many contracts, but I'm going to say multiple. So I'm short a one lot, let's just say one contract of the 85 puts in Starbucks. expected move was, let's say $6 or something.
Yeah, well, where was the stock? Stock was like
88 or something, 87, 88.
Yeah.
I'm short the 85 puts. I like
you want to be long.
I want to be long.
Right.
I like to go outside the expected move. So instead of being short one tranche of the 85 puts, I decided to sell three tranches of the 80 puts.
I remember.
Okay, because this is because I'm a genius.
Genius, Phil.
So I'm short one tranche of the 85 puts. Expected move is $6 or $7. So I go down to the 80 puts, which is just outside the expected move. And sell three tranches.
Yada, yada, yada. We stay at or inside the expected move. Daddy has no tail risk. Everything's good.
85% chance that works out beautiful. 15% chance it doesn't. 15% chance
it yesterday. They rolled the ball. It went around the roulette wheel and the green came out.
Well, Starbucks dropped. Where's, hang on.
$73 bucks right now.
Yeah, it's a death trade. So Starbucks, which is down another 70 cents today and was down, you know.
It opened at $76, just under. It closed at 88. That closed down, opened down $12 on that day.
Almost two times the expected move, so I lost almost five times as much money. All because I did exactly what you're not supposed to do here. So before we think that this is so easy and everybody does it, like that's when genius fails. You're exactly right. You increase the size, just like I did yesterday, and I lost, I think, almost five times the amount of money that I should have. No, it can't be five times. 85 puts is, no, it would have been lost three times as much money. But whatever, it doesn't matter.
We're still going to put you in the front of the lunch line.
Still going to put me down. All right, that's it, Beth. Thanks.
Good job out of you. We're going to take a quick 90-second break and come back. We got more Tasty Live after this with, oh, joy, your friend and mine, Mr. Scott Sheridan, next.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Live, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.